So good evening. Are we all still awake? Fabulous. We're starting a new series on the Psalms. Can I have my first picture, Gordon? There we go. We've asked our evening service preachers to pray and to pick a psalm that has meant something to them. One that's spoken to them at a particular point in their life. And to tell that story, to give a testimony, as it were, and to help us unpack that psalm together. Asking for a more altogether personal approach as we look at something in Scripture that has impacted us personally. I love the Psalms. They're often my go-to starting place when I've got a spiritual grump on. The Psalms are a great collection of songs and prayers that express the heart and soul of humanity. They come written, I think, with a rawness and a humanity where it's real, you can feel it. And they're about friendship with God and about what that looks like, about what a relationship with God is like in all its complexities. In the Psalms, there's all sorts of human experience and circumstances. There's lament, there's joy, there's sadness, there's gratitude, there's raging against injustice, there's a help me, help me, help me prayer. There's celebration, there's everything in the Psalms. And I think what the Psalms do is they help us reorientate our focus to God, to help us see that things without him don't make sense. Our fulfillment and security is in God. And some of the Psalms help us grieve over what makes God sad. I think the Psalms help us to be optimistic. They show us that our hope is found in salvation, faith alone, in God, in redemption. So a quick overview on who wrote what. I have a pie chart. Oh, you can't really see it, can you? Okay, I will tell you. I've never made a pie chart before. I did that this afternoon. I'm quite proud of myself. Who knew that there were websites when if you just, how to make a pie chart? These little websites that help you. I should have asked Rebecca. She'd have known what was what. I love a pie chart. So the majority of the Psalms were thought traditionally to be written by David. He's the one in green, 73 Psalms, we think. They're his greatest hits. Alongside him, he's got some anonymous cover stars. They're 49 in the light blue. And other visiting artists, Asaph, wrote 12. Ooh. And there was a well-known song combo who wrote 11, the Sons of Korah, the One Direction of their day, with Solomon, Moses, Herman, and Ethan, who wrote between 2 and 1 each, and they sound like a jazz quartet. They're the people who traditionally, we think, wrote the Psalms. I would like us to focus on Psalm 27 tonight. So if you have a Bible, please open it. If it's on your phone, please turn it on. Or just look to the screen. Or concentrate. Whatever does it for you. Psalm 27. The Lord is a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I cry, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my mother, my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Good stuff, huh? Hang on. Got one hand. For me, this is a psalm about the F's. I will explain. I think this psalm is about fear. I think this psalm is about faith. I think this psalm for me is about family and about the future. And that's why this psalm was so important to me, because it spoke right into each of those issues at a time when I needed to hear God's voice loud and clear. So I'm going to tell you my story. There's a picture. I will explain that in a minute. I became a Christian at the age of 14. I'd been made to go to church since just before middle school. We have middle school in Yorkshire. We started going regularly as a family just before the time that the church attendance form needed to be handed in to those who decided if you could get in to the Church of England Middle School. So my family became church members round about that time. Funny coincidence in timing. It was never something they really embraced, dare I say, or actually believed in. But we went to church so I could get into middle school. Because after all, church is something that everybody who is English does, surely. You're not meant to take it seriously or let belief in God really take a hold of you. It's what you do on a Sunday, or you did in the 70s and 80s in Headingley in Leeds. So after a while, they got a bit bored. And so I toddled up the road to church by myself from the age of 7. There was a bit of an ulterior motive. A group of old ladies would take pity on me every Sunday. They'd give me chocolate and pocket money. There was a man called Mr. Grant who would bring me a whole packet of polos every Sunday. I had a cushy number at this church at Headingley St. Columba's. I made a mint every week because I went to church. But I love them and they love me. So I would sit through the minister's wife, Mrs. Way, and her frankly bonkers Sunday school every week. I would sing songs from the little copy of Congregational Praise. And they'd let me collect the offering in little blue collection bags. And when it was all over, when I'd collected up all the things that they would give me every week, it was great, I would toddle back down the hill to our house next door to the cricket ground. Didn't mean much. It was a habit. People were nice to me. They gave me chocolate. I'm motivated by chocolate. And so I continued to go. I became a teenager and I went to high school. And there were more Christians at the Church of England High School than I'd met before. And one of the girls at school, who I quite liked, took me to her church in the evening. So in the morning it was the United Reformed Church, and in the evening it was Elim Pentecostal. It was very different from what I was used to. And the same girl encouraged me to go to the school Christian Union every Wednesday lunchtime. I began to learn and think a bit more. So on the screen, that's my church, my home church. The first picture where it says the name of the church, that's the front of the church. And the other one is the back of the church. It was built the wrong way around on a ring road that they thought was going to be rerouted, and it wasn't. So there we go. That's my home church. So I began to learn and think more, but faith hadn't made its way from my head to my heart, if you know what I mean. Until one day, the 14th of May, 1987, 2:30, to be precise. This is Dortmund Square in Leeds. And I was waiting on this bench here, if you can see it in the corner, for my friend Emma Thornton, who was notoriously late all the time. And just by the statue of the man with the barrel was a street preacher. I think you may know what's going to happen next. And he preached the gospel. And it was a bit of a Damascus Road experience for me. Literally, it was a, that makes sense now. It was like a ka-ching moment. Everything that I'd learned from being a child in the United Reformed Church, yes, they did preach the gospel. Everything I learned, louder preaching in the evening at Elim, everything I'd learned at Christian Union, all those new Christian friends, all of a sudden made sense. And I decided to invite Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. They say that no one takes any notice of street evangelism anymore, but I think I slightly disagree with that, because if that street preacher hadn't been preaching that day, I don't know if I'd have made a decision for Christ. I might have taken a bit more time. Perhaps I would have just carried on being a church-goer for chocolate, rather than a committed Christian. I don't know. But it wasn't a popular decision in my family. This is how we're getting on to Psalm 27. Because, as I think I may have mentioned before, faith is something in my family that needs to be done quietly, without fuss, with no outward displays of emotion. It certainly shouldn't be something that changes you in any way, shape, or form, because God demands nothing. That was not how my newfound faith felt. Because really at the age of 14, I was an all or nothing kind of girl. No half measures. And faith in Jesus meant everything. I wonder what you were like when you were 14. Or those of you who've not got to 14 yet. We'll soon find out. This psalm became a challenge and a comfort to me when living my faith in my family became almost impossible. Really hard, I'm not exaggerating. There were times that I was locked in my bedroom, so I couldn't go to church. I would say to my mother, I am the persecuted church all by myself. My mum honestly believed that if she kept me away from church, this religious phase that I was going through, I'd grow out of. She was doing it from what she considered to be the best intentions. But of course, I didn't see it that way as a headstrong teenager. You never agree with your parents when you're 14, 15, 16. This was my Bible I got when I was 7 and trundled up to the United Reformed Church. It's a Good News Bible. It's falling apart in places. Half of Genesis is missing. I don't know why that dropped out before everything else. There isn't much highlighted. I didn't highlight my Bible back then, but Psalm 27 is. It's because that became something I clung onto when nothing else made sense. When everything I'd been raised to know or who I thought I should trust in let me down, Psalm 27 particularly spoke to me. And if you remember what we've just said, it's a psalm that's all about enemies encamping against you, because that's how it felt. It felt battlefield stuff. And that's not great when you're in the midst of it. And I shouldn't have seen my family as my enemies. But I did. It's not a great attitude to have. When we thought about what we were going to talk about, I knew straight away that this would be a psalm where I was reminded of my teenage angst. It's a long time ago since I was a teenager. A long time ago. And how hard it can be, and I know that some of you live that presence now, to be the only Christian living in households that sometimes are very anti-faith. And it was at that time that I came to know the God who became that light and salvation for me. This is a psalm about faith, about a faith and a confidence in who God is that allows him to be completely trustworthy. King David says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?" When life throws all that it can at us, and some of us know that it can throw some situations that rock the very foundations of our lives, where is our confidence? Where is our very foundation? In this psalm, King David is saying, even when my enemies threaten me, even when my family disown me, and that felt very real for me, as a person who had not for very long found out that she was adopted, now in a place where no one seems to understand her at all, this was real. That's what it felt like. Even though armies encamp against me, even though war break out around me, where is my confidence? That's a question I'd like to ask you. Where does your confidence lie? in life at the moment. David reminds us in this psalm that even when life is tough, we can say with confidence that God is good because he has been faithful to us. This is a personal psalm for David. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." It's relational. It's real. And when life shakes the foundations of your world, you need a relational God to stand by you. Because that's the faith that David stands on. A faith that's immovable. A faith that does not budge. A faith that is steady when there is joy and when there isn't. A faith that focuses on the immovable rock of Jesus when all around is sinking sand and stormy seas. Perhaps for some, that immovable faith when life is hard seems naive. It still is. Some people in my family still think I am the most naive person who's been kidnapped by a cult called the United Reformed Church. David makes a choice between faith and fear. And he does so because he remembers the nature and the character and the very person of the God who has stuck by him. David makes a choice not to be fearful, and that's easier said than done because of what his faith is based on. Let me remind you of one thing that David says. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David says, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." I think that David can have confidence and faith, and we can have confidence and faith because we seek God's face. David has spent time with God. He knows the heartbeats of the Father. And the one thing he says he wants is intimacy. Intimacy with God. He's searching for God's presence. Because that's the foundation of who David is. He lives in assurance and faith because he spent time face down, as it were, with God. And that's a challenge to me. And I wonder if that's a challenge to you. Is that something that you do enough in your walk with God? I love the way that the Message version of the Bible puts that verse. I'm going to read it out to you. "I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world." Love that. This psalm helped me get perspective by teaching me to look and keep looking into the face of God. "The Lord is my salvation and my light." I'm not the best sleeper in the world. I never have been. It isn't just because Paul snores. I've never been great at sleeping. And I found that in the middle of the night, everything seems worse. Shadows seem longer. Every noise seems louder and weirder I'm always convinced someone's breaking in downstairs when it never is. You get perspective when you turn the light on. And for me, this psalm was the beginning of God doing that for me, of bringing light into dark places that dispelled fear and began to set my foundations right. The psalm ends with these words. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I can honestly say that I am still confident of the goodness of the Lord here and now. And that's where the future bit comes in. I am confident in the promises and the purposes of God over my life. The waiting bit, however, I'm not great at. I'm a little impatient. God's still working with me on that one. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promises that we find in your word of who you are. That you are good. That your love endures forever. That in you we find a rock and a refuge and a resting place. Thank you that we can have confidence in who you are. That you never will abandon us. We praise you for who you are, a God that saves us and a God that brings light into the darkness of our world. Father, would you challenge us to be a people who seek your face, who long for intimacy and closeness with you. Help us to be a people who sit at your feet and gaze at your beauty. Help us to be a people who long always to know more, to see more, to be filled more, to dive in more to the beauty of your word. So as we journey together through Psalms, Lord, would you convict us where we need convicting? Would you challenge us? Would you comfort us? But would you draw us closer to you? And would you help us see Jesus as we break open your word together? We love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.